Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show. Our website is jrdonline.com. Our email is jeff.roni@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 714-929-7857. We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. So stay connected to us. And on with the show. I welcome in Mr. Doug Rapson from the Geek Acres Show. Doug, welcome to the Roni Zone.
Thank you so very much.
Well, let's kind of start at something that I think is fairly obvious. In our discussions back and forth, I kind of get the idea that you've been a sci-fi fan a while.
You could say that. You could say that. I know growing up I used to watch reruns of the original Star Trek when it was on after school. And I remember one of my defining moments, I think, that really kind of opened the whole world up to me was when my folks took my sister and I to see the original Star Wars episode. And I'm not talking about number one, kids. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about episode four in the grand scope of things. And they took us to see it at the local drive-in, and I'm sure, there were probably a lot more drive-ins back in the 70s across the country than there are nowadays. We're fortunate to have two within driving distance of where we live currently, but I'm getting off track here. They took us to see the original Star Wars, and I remember that opening scene where after the credits and the story had rolled, you've got this unbelievable shot of the Star Destroyer chasing Princess Leia's ship, and it just peels up over this multi-story screen, and just like, you know, if anything, wow, that clicked it right there.
What was interesting about movies in those days is that it was more of an event, and films were competing with television after the 50s, and so you had these larger screens. I remember remember 70mm, or did you? I can't recall.
Not specifically, no.
It was a huge screen, Doug. Huge. I mean, massive. And I was very fortunate to see A New Hope on a 70mm screen. And it was a life changer. You know, I'm trying not to put too much on it, but it was amazing to see that Star Destroyer. I think that was a moment in a lot of people's lives where they said, wow. You know, some people felt that way when they saw 2001, you know, other people when they watched Star Trek on television. But for me, it was that. And we all have moments, and you were just kind of talking about, you know, going to see it at a drive-in, and there's a lot of stuff that's gone. And happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
What's it like to raise a little boy with all these trappings of today? Is it easier to kind of expose kids to sci-fi? Is it more difficult as far as there's so many choices? What do you feel about that?
Well, I definitely think there's a lot of options out there, not all of them good. For one thing, my wife's cousin is a huge, huge Transformers fan. He falls maybe about 10, 15 years younger than I. He's in his mid-20s right now. But, I mean, he grew up during the era when Gen 1 came out. And so he has kind of helped expose my son, whom I refer to on the show as Boy. He's helped expose Boy to a lot of the things that I enjoyed growing up. And he's got a pretty massive collection. And again, I'm talking about my wife's cousin here, of both Transformers and, the original G.I. Joe action figures. And so Boy has gotten exposed to Transformers and became a fan. And so it was a choice that I had to really take a look at when they came out with the movie a few years ago. Because, again, we're talking – Boy is seven now, so he was about five or so when the original movie came out. And I had to take a look and read some reviews online and say, okay, this is something that he's definitely going to be interested in. It's going to be hard to avoid if I decide to go that route. But I took a look at some reviews and so forth and decided that, you know what, for the negative aspects of it, it's probably going to go over his head at that age, and he's going to be more about the action and so on and so forth. But he's big about that. The Star Wars series that's out right now has been a great gateway, I think, for a lot of kids to introduce them to the movies that, you know, we grew up with and that we loved. And again, I'm talking more about 4, 5, and 6, although there are some good aspects. I know a lot of people like to run 1, 2, and 3 into the ground, but I think there are some good things there as well. So, you know, he's excited, and we love, one of the big things that we love to do is to play video games. Last year for Father's Day, my lovely wife got us a Wii.
Ooh.
And we've had so much fun playing not only the games that came with it, the sports and so forth, but our library, you know, has grown and so forth. And just this week, we've been playing a lot of the Speed Racer game, and he and I have been working together during the championship seasons, because as you win different races there, you unlock other characters and other tracks and so forth. So that's definitely a point of bonding for my son and I.
Hmm. Well, the one thing that I'm really impressed with is there are some guys that do podcasts that, you know, kind of that's their one focus, but you often talk about your son and that, you know, he and I are doing this and he did that. And it's just, it is really cool when a show that's about sci-fi and maybe a little technology here and there kind of pulls in the whole aspect of you are a father, you are a husband, who you are. And I think that's really great.
Well, I'm really blessed. You know, I've got a very loving family. My wife is very supportive of what I do. One of the cool things is I just celebrated a birthday not too terribly long ago, and one of the things on my Amazon wish list was one of the Zoom recorders, and a lot of my podcasting buddies have gotten one of these. And I was able to explain to her that this would not only be beneficial to me as a podcaster, but she's a music teacher. And so this would be a great way for her to record her students, whether they're singing or playing their instruments and so forth. So there are different aspects of my life that really just, you know, very naturally kind of fall together. So whether it's, you know, it's the technology or it's the movies. The one thing that I've had a lot of fun lately is, now the movie, I'm sure, based on what I've seen, does not excite me whatsoever, but the Land of the Lost movie has given a great opportunity for sci-fi to play back the episodes of the television show that I remember watching as a kid. And here's the really funny part. I'm getting to expose Boy to this through the episodes they're showing, and I did a little bit of math, and I think I was watching the show originally when I was 7.
Wow.
And here he is at 7 years old discovering the show, and I think he's really enjoying it. You know, it's certainly not the whiz-bang of Transformers, but even so, it's really cool, the characters that develop, and it's just really fun sharing this thing that I loved as a kid with my kid, you know, many, many years later.
When was your introduction to sci-fi as a medium? Was it Star Wars or was it something else?
I've got to say, you know, probably a little bit earlier than that. As I said, I remember watching Star Trek as a kid. I'm sure I watched cartoons that, you know, developed this thing, whether it was Star Blazers or, you know, some of the things that appeared on Saturday mornings. But Star Wars probably stands out as one of the big ones at any rate.
I remember and I think it always happens, when there is a successful film, there are copycats, and whether it comes from America or Japan or some other area. And I remember, you know, Star Wars was a massive hit in 77, obviously. It was even to the point where I went to a haunted house for, I think it was a charity backed this haunted house, and they replayed in live form the scenes from Star Wars in this haunted house. They had the cantina, they had Leia kind of walking around in front of this beam, and when I saw that, I said, this is big. This is not just some little show. But I remember there was little things like Battle Beyond the Stars, I think, and there was these little kind of knockoff films. I think it was an incredible time. You know, I've kind of waxed poetic about it, and I remember Star Wars playing a year in the theater. And I remember Raiders playing a year in the theater. It was a different time. You didn't have a whole lot of films then. And I remember standing in line and kind of walking by the rear door of the theater and listening to the ending, you know, of the previous showing, you know, waiting to get in. And, you know, it was really an incredible thing. It is really cool that you can kind of match up. Obviously, now your experience with Land of the Lost with your boy, you know, TV even back in the 70s and, you know, was an incredible medium as well.
And that's the thing is, you know, you're talking about how Star Wars spawned all of these things. And back then, you know, we had the Buck Rogers thing that came along. And that was an interesting character right there in that it went from the big screen to television, whereas nowadays we have so many television shows that then make the leap into the big screen, whether you're talking about, you know, obviously Star Trek or X-Files or that sort of thing. But, you know, we had Buck Rogers, we had Battlestar Galactica. And as much as I enjoy the new one, and this is one that I've had to DVR and kind of set aside and wait till he goes to sleep, that is definitely not something that I want to share with him right now. Mm. I think there's some real good storytelling going on there, but it is certainly not it's not your father's Battlestar, as they say. But, you know, I remember Buck Rogers. I remember Battlestar. I remember growing up with Steve Austin and Knight Rider. And, you know, some of these things they have tried to revive, some more successfully than others. But, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of stuff out there that they've tried to bring back, and some of it I have enjoyed being able to share, and others, you know, not so much.
Yeah. Well, I have said before, is Lost and Battlestar Galactica, I think, saved television as far as a medium for really fantastic stories. And Battlestar Galactica, to me, right now, this second, is probably the best sci-fi show ever. And I mean even more than Star Trek, because I can relate to it, you know. And maybe in an earlier time, in another part of life, maybe Star Trek could. But Battlestar Galactica is just fantastic. So how far into it are you?
I watched the whole thing pretty much live.
Great, you know, great.
When I say I was DVRing it, yeah, I was pretty much holding it for for 24 to 36 hours. But and I just had a friend at work who actually was watching it on DVD, and he just finished the last last few episodes, and he kind of had this little WTF moment with me. He's like, boy, it really got a little bit strange, but you know, overall he agreed with me that this was a pretty good story.
There was a number of moments. I remember early on when they were on the planet and they were going to leave, and people were coming up trying to get into the craft to get off the planet.
Yes.
And I immediately flashed to Katrina. And when a television show or a movie can be set in the future or some other place, and you can start to see things that you feel and know, and you say, they've been reading my mail. I've seen that before. I know that. I know that feeling. It resonated. Even though it was about, you know, whatever. And I say, hey, that's a guy from Stand By Me. Hey, that's a gal, you know. So it was just a well-done television show. So sorry to see it go. But I think a show that stays past its prime it is bad as well. So,
yeah.
Then you have the X-Files problem. So, anyway, tell me your point of discovering podcasting. It's almost kind of like a religious discussion.
At the time, I think I was interested in Star Trek Enterprise at the that was, you know, they had brought it along as the next piece in the puzzle, and they were starting to talk about, you know, well, it didn't look like it was going to make it, and a lot of people were really kind of up in arms. And so I did a little bit of searching and just happened to stumble across a program by two guys called Mike and Evo.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a show that at the time was really kind of Star Trek centric, talking about, you know, sci-fi in general, but really about this effort to try and save Enterprise and so on and so forth. And through that, it was really a gateway to me discovering people like Mer Lafferty.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, I thought this is really cool because when I graduated from college back in 1990, my degree was in broadcast communications, and I went into radio, and I worked in radio for probably about a good 10 years. But because I was working in local radio and my wife was really situated in her teaching job, local radio is fine, but if you want to move up in radio, if you want to, you know, hit the big time, you have to be willing to kind of jump around, and I was not willing to do that. So I got out of radio, I got into doing computers, which is what I do today, but I really always kind of miss that creative aspect of radio, whether it was, you know, being a DJ or creating commercials, you know, coming up with these crazy scripts and voices and all kinds of things. And so the more I listened to podcasting, I thought, this is really something that I want to do, that I want to get interested in. So I did one or two segments for other people's shows. I did some stuff for Mike and Evo. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I bet you I could do this.
Yeah.
And so
– so you're working with it was a Slice of Sci-Fi back then with Mike and Evo?
Yeah, I was working with Slice of Sci-Fi, and I had done some interviews for them. And done some segments for them. And, you know, I decided this is something really cool that I think I'd like to get involved in. So I did a little bit of research and stumbled upon Libsyn and cobbled together what I thought. And I went through a couple different ideas. Like, okay, well, what can I contribute to this space? You know, what sorts of ideas, you know, can I throw out there? And so I went through some notions about, you know, what I was interested in, so on and so forth. And Geek Acres just kind of fell together and went from, you know, 10 listeners to 25. And as long as there were people out there that were listening, I decided, well, we'll kind of keep on doing this thing.
Well, I think what I like about your approach is it's very you. And I think you have a very easy attitude about it. Some people whine and cry like me about no responses and no feedback, you know, but you are very calm. And as you do your show, it's a lot of fun. It's very interesting, but I really enjoy the fact that you do it because you like to do it, not because you want anything. And so I think that's the coolest part.
And again, I think I have, as far as that goes, I think I have adopted the theory that Evo Terra has put out there, and he even has registered this domain, is he's got a domain out there called funanymore.com. Mm. And his whole theory is that he's going to keep doing what he's doing until it's not fun anymore.
Right.
And right now I'm really enjoying podcasting. I've been doing it probably for, oh gosh, about 4 years or so. And it's really, it's allowed me to meet people online, which has been great. And the last 2 years especially, I've had an opportunity to actually get to meet these people in real life by going to opportunities like PodCamp and by going to opportunities like Balticon. And it's just been amazing how I've gotten to share my enthusiasms in my little corner of the world, develop these relationships online that have then had the opportunity to really kind of blossom and grow and just these interactions that then have materialized in the real space. And that's just – it's been amazing.
Well, the one thing – I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think you're the nicest guy I've ever met because you will have these connections with these people. And a lot of people – sometimes me included, just, you know, promote what they're doing. But, you know, you're just you know, kind of answering people back. You know, somebody says, oh, I'm having a bad day. Well, I'm sorry about that. I hope it gets better. How was da-da-da? You mentioned meeting people online and then also meeting them in real life. It is possible, isn't it, to cultivate relationships on this kind of cold, steely internet.
Hi-ho, this is Kermit the Frog here, and you're listening to Run His Own Radio. Well, I guess he talks about radios or something like that. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Okay, we're going to end part one right there, and please come back next week for more of our discussion and interview with Doug Rapson. So, see you then. Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com. Roni's Own Radio is a proud member of the Christian New Media Group. You can find more information at cnmg.roniezone.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.